Well, as I change seats with my beautiful wife and get settled in here, I want to thank again all of you who have called in and who are here, because you could do many, many other things, but instead, your choice was to join us here in fellowship. And God honors that. He truly does. Well, like Shakti mentioned earlier, yesterday, Sunday morning fellowship, I shared on the title being Drawing Upon God's Sufficiency. And so I thought I would do a recap this evening and call it Drawing on God's Sufficiency Part 2. So, sufficiency, what is that? Sufficiency is the act of being sufficient. That means we are fully equipped for whatever we set out to do. And the question always is, who or where is our sufficiency coming from? Is it God or the world? I trust that it's the first one, God, because trust me, the world would love to have you depend on it and make it your adequacy with good intentions, but still yet, there's nothing like God's being our sufficiency. So let's look at verse of scripture, and that would be 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, as I turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And it's humbling to hear that, but it's the truth. And verse 6 goes on to say, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And that's what it's all about. The letter is referring to the law, the Mosaic law. Excuse me. And that's all they had at that time. So where there's law, there's people making judgments and stuff like that. And they're constantly having to renew their mind and their heart and their stand. We find a humbling fact in this verse, again, that by ourselves we are limited, but with God who qualifies us and gives us power, abilities, and gives us our sufficiency as able ministers. We're all ministers of God's word. We have the ministry of salvation, which saves from death to life, speaking of that Spirit, and brings people to righteous living and a right standing with God for those who choose to believe. That's key. That's important. And I know all of us here choose to believe. Hooray. As with Abraham's believing, so are we to look at God with our believing hearts. And that's the starting point whenever it comes to trusting in something or someone. In this case, we're talking about the Almighty creators of the heaven and the earth. Again, it's our heart that determines just how we are focused and what we want to see happen. And that's what we want to use and start off with. In Proverbs, God tells us about those who cultivated their land or worked hard, that they will have plenty, being sufficient of bread or food to eat. But if we're busy chasing fantasies or vain people, not looking to God, we will end up short and lacking where there's a need. We're all going to have a need sooner or later. And how do you address that? Again, who's your sufficiency? The world or Almighty God? God says, try me. Try me. And that's what we want to do. God tells us, try me and see. try me and see. And let me tell you, I've tried him many, many times, and I've seen what he can do. So, as we work heartily as unto the Lord and follow his instructions, we will have all the blessings of his sufficiencies and all that we need, because God always looks at what? Our hearts, right? He looks at our hearts. Let's keep God first as the provider. As the provider in every part of our lives, then we will truly have a prosperous ministry. We will have a prosperous ministry. Because if we're speaking for God, you don't think he's going to back up what we're saying when it comes to the truth and the rightly divided word? Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's see the results of giving and God's sufficiency following King Hezekiah of Judah and the obedience of the people. And for this, we need to go to 2 Chronicles and chapter 31, starting in verse 2. So let me go there, please. 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, and we'll start in verse 2. I will be reading this out of the NLT. And it's an interesting record, but watch how this unfolds. Hezekiah then organized the priests and the Levites into divisions to offer the burnt offerings and peace offerings and to worship and give thanks and praise to the Lord at the gates of the temple. It was a big deal. They made the time and effort to do this. Verse 3, the king also made a personal contribution of animals for the daily morning and evening burnt offerings, the weekly Sabbath festivals, the monthly new moon festivals, and the annual festivals as prescribed in the law of the Lord. So they were going through all these festivals to honor God and to get back on track. We don't have to do that anymore. We just share our hearts with God and know that he loves to hear our commitment with him. But nonetheless, verse 4 goes on to say, in addition, he required the people in Jerusalem to bring a portion of their goods to the priests and Levites so they could devote themselves fully to the law of the Lord. And what this verse is talking about here is that everybody supplies the needs of these priests and others so that they can devote their time and efforts to taking care of the family of God and following what the law has prescribed. Verse 5. When the people of Israel heard these requirements, they responded generously by bringing the first share of their grain, new wine, olive oil, honey, and all the produce of their fields. They brought a large quantity, a tithe of all they produced. So you see, they were wanting to fulfill their obligation, or at least what was in their hearts. Verse 6, the people who had moved to Judah from Israel and the people of Judah themselves brought in the tithes of their cattle, sheep, and goats, and a tithe of the things that had been dedicated to the Lord, their God. And they piled them up in great heaps. We're not talking about filling up a dinner table. We're talking about mounds of stuff they were bringing. Now check this out. Verse 7, they began piling them up in late spring, and the heaps continued to grow until early autumn. Can you imagine how big this heap was getting, or this pile? Well, that's some time spent doing that. When Hezekiah and his officials came and saw these huge piles, they thanked the Lord and his people Israel. Where did all this come from when they came across this? Where did all this come from? Hezekiah asked the priests and Levites, and Azariah, the high priest from the family of Zadok, replied, since the people began bringing their gifts to the Lord's temple, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare. the Lord has blessed his people and all is that is left over. Isn't that amazing how this all transpired over the months that they wanted to take care of the needs of the people, and they had plenty left over. Mm-hmm. Now, know this. Fear brings doubt when it comes to giving with a cheerful heart in one's life. Will I have enough for me? That's what a lot of people would say. What about me? Will I have enough for me? So we know that when you give with a cheerful heart, God's going to replenish your supply. We saw how it happened with these folks, but in our personal lives, don't ever give with the thought in your mind saying, I better get something back, or I'm going to do this because it means I'm going to get something back. No, you do it because it's in your heart and you want to give with that cheerful heart. God is our sufficiency. Bottom line, God is our sufficiency. He makes us adequate in many areas in our lives. Shakti and I have had needs throughout our marriage, and there have been times, to be honest with you, where we actually said, what will we do now? It's an honest human thing to have or thought, but you know what? We prayed about it. We prayed about it. First, and lo and behold, our Heavenly Father came through for us and delivered us from whatever the situation was. And what does that cause us to do? Smile big time and thank God for His grace, for His love, and for His help. So I want to close in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. So let's go there. Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 10. These also are out of the NLT. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't even have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Well, let's put God to the test with confidence, though, because we know that with all the things that we do, putting Him first and thinking of Him, He is our sufficiency, and He will take care of our needs. Let's also go to Philippians 4:19, please. Philippians 4:19. Another great verse of scripture. And it says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply some of your needs, half of your needs, a quarter of your needs. No, God's, one of His favorite three-letter words is all, will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the example, and yet our Heavenly Father has always wanted us to see how He did these things so that there's no question in our hearts what to do and what we will do. So I'm going to close with the comment I made yesterday, but it's still apropos for this sharing. And that simply is, our one true God is omnipotent. God does not need help in accomplishing that which He sets out to accomplish. Man is arrogant, thinking he can do what only God can do, or man's ways are adequate when it is God who can help man. God is not needy, man is. God is not insufficient, man is. So it's okay to completely trust in the Father as our sufficiency and His promises. Let's keep our Abba Father as our only plan A, not have a plan B, C, D, and so on. One plan, go unto the Father, plan A, and have the faith of Abraham. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for reassuring us and assuring our hearts that when we walk out with believing hearts, doing your will, being the ministers you've qualified us to be, knowing, Father, that you are our sufficiency and our needs will be taken care of. So we look to you always, Father, for your help and guidance, and that we can not only try you but prove you, because you say so in your word, Father. So I thank you again for your great love, your help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.